Blog Talk Radio.
To me, okay? To me. Ultimately, martial art means honestly expressing yourself. Now, it is very difficult to do. I mean, it is easy for me to put on a show and be cocky.
Yeah.
And be flooded with a cocky feeling and then feel like pretty cool and all that. Or I can make all kinds of phony things, you see what I mean, blinded by it. Or I can show you some really fancy movement. But to express oneself honestly, not lying to oneself, and to express myself honestly, now that, my friend, is very hard to do. And you have to train. You have to keep your reflexes so that when you want it, it's there. The expression of the human body. I mean, everything. I mean, you know, not just the hand. And when you're talking about combat, well, I mean, if it is a sport, now you're talking about something else. You have regulations, you have rules. But when you're talking about fighting as it is,
no rules.
With no rules,
not real fighting.
Well, then, baby, you better train every part of your body.
I'm not surprised, mother.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
What's up? Where you at, George?
I like Big Dumb McCartney pulling me about, folks. That's how I like to roll. You feel me?
Nobody gonna take this bet.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm proud for fighting with you. For you.
Don't bring the dog out of me.
I'm the man of the hour, Joe. Too sweet to be sour. What you see is what you get, and what you don't is better yet.
I fight for the fans. I wanted to keep fighting as long as it took, and I wanted to win this title. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I did it.
I don't have much left to say other than you have seen nothing yet.
Running water never grows stale, so you got to just keep on flowing.
Welcome back, Penn Nation. You are now listening to another episode of BJPenn.com Radio. As always, guys, I'm your host, Jay Kinch. And as we do each and every week, we've got another great show lined up for you guys this evening. BJPenn.com Radio, we're live each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And each and every week, we are going to continue to bring you guys the best guests with awesome interviews and the best show possible. BJPenn.com Radio and BJPenn.com itself, we are the fighter's voice, and what we're all about on this show, guys, is giving these athletes a platform to speak their minds without any bias. And we're also the voice of you guys, the fans, and we greatly appreciate you guys, Penn Nation. Tonight's lineup, another great one, two great guests. Before we get into any of that stuff, though, I keep telling you guys every single week, and quite frankly, you understand it's my job at this point. Your home for MMA news is BJPenn.com. Make sure you guys bookmark us, set up notifications for Twitter, stay up to date on all the latest and greatest in the sport you love of mixed martial arts, all the hot topics, the breaking news, viral videos, exclusive content, interviews, everything that you crave all in one place, BJPenn.com/MMA news. We have got you covered, guys. I believe we had a new Evolve technique video drop today. I keep telling you guys about those. Very cool stuff. Great content for the site. BJPenn.com, we're the largest independently owned and operated MMA news site out there today. And thanks to you guys all make this possible, so we greatly appreciate that. As far as our guests go for the evening, kicking things off at about 8:15. We'll be joined by Bellator heavyweight contender, former UFC fighter, tough alumni. Of course, I'm talking about Matt Mitrione. He's coming off of the sensational finish over Fedor Emelianenko. And now he's on the hunt for a title. And quite frankly, he's the prime candidate for a title fight in Bellator. They've had a bit of a mix-up with the division. Vacated title, not too much clarity what was going on there, but now as things seem to be taking shape with the additions to the roster, Matt Mitrione makes the most sense, in a lot of people's opinions, to fight for the title. So we're going to catch up with him about all of that. We're going to talk about the Fedor fight, how things are going in regards to the march towards the title. And, you know, when we're talking about negotiations here with Bellator, nothing's official yet. But I think he is in that conversation. So we'll catch up on all that. Talk about the possibility of a heavyweight tournament. Would he be down for it? Would he rather fight for the title first? All that and much more at bjpenn.com. Radio, my friends. Second guest of the evening, closing out the show. I think we run about 30 minutes with Matt Mitrione, so let's say 8:45. The man may have just talked his way into a title shot with Daniel Cormier on Twitter via the magic of social media. The man has no time. Of course, I'm talking about Volkan Ozdemir. We've discussed it many times on the show, his ascension to the top, number two place in light heavyweight rankings right now. Accomplished all of this in under a year. Incredibly impressive journey to witness and, quite frankly, to be a part of. But the man has ascended the ranks, left destruction in his wake, and it looks like he's finally going to challenge for a title. Great conversation with him. We'll discuss the timeline, time frames for this. You guys heard him on Helwani's show earlier this week, but we do discuss some stuff that they didn't get a chance to cover. We'll get a bit of a breakdown of skill versus skill against DC. Talk to him a little bit about John Jones, Gokhan Saki as well. And, of course, what this all means to him and how fast-paced everything has been, his will and confidence in himself and his own skills. Always a great conversation with Volkan. And quite frankly, first time speaking to Matt Mitrione, great conversation with him. Very intelligent guy. And I know you guys will enjoy both interviews. But a lot of news to get into, a lot of stuff to talk about. But before we jump into news and, you know, a lot of the tragedies that have gone on around the world, or in particular in America, this is episode 52, Penn Nation, of BJPenn.com Radio. It's been a year to date for this podcast, and I'd just like to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in each week. I'd also like to thank BJ, JD, Regan, Scott, the whole team, everybody for this opportunity. Love the sport, and you know, being able to cover it has been an incredible experience for me. So mahalo from the bottom of my heart. And on another somber tone here, our prayers go out to the victims of the shooting in Las Vegas. Truly horrific stuff, and we wish everybody a speedy recovery, and our hearts go out to each victim and their families and the families of the victims who were killed. So much bad stuff in the world today, guys. It's truly a strange place we live in. And, man, let's all do what we can for the victims and their families. Let's donate money, donate blood, whatever these people need. Americans, I know not all of you are Americans that tune in, but Americans rally for each other in times of need, as I'm sure is the same way across the globe. And this is yet another example of one of those times. So, again, our prayers and thoughts are with the victims of the Las Vegas shooting. And, you got all our support, that's for sure. More somber stuff I just wanted to touch on real quick. Today marks not only 52 episodes and a full year at BJPenn.com Radio for us, but also the passing of the little brother of one of my best friends, Alonzo De Pina, to the entire Alejo Nunez family and my dear friend George Serrett. I love you guys. Just want you all to know that my heart goes out to you all as well on this day. Very emotional week, my friends. You've all seen it. And, of course, the passing of Tom Petty as well. Rest in peace, Tom Petty. Love that guy's music. But we got to keep it moving. We got to push through. And let's get into some news. As first reported by BJPenn.com, our own Chris Taylor, Justin Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez is official for UFC 218. Big props to Chris on that. And it looks like most places, most sites are, and outlets are citing us sites, huh? Most media outlets are citing us properly at this point, so. Official for UFC 218. Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway. Also official for UFC 218. That's going to be a great fight. I'm sure you all know that. The pace and tenacity of Edgar versus that same tenacity and young blood and killer instinct of Max Holloway. Another great fight added to UFC 218. Cub Swanson, Brian Ortega, that'll be the main event for UFC on December 9th in Fresno. It's going to be UFC fight night. The number is escaping me at the moment. So three big fights announced this week. Anthony Johnson, he's met with UFC brass to discuss a return at heavyweight. Very cool stuff. And quite the short hiatus for Anthony Johnson. He made it seem like this was it. He was going to walk away permanently from the sport. But here we are only a couple months later, and he's back in negotiations to move up to heavyweight. A weight that he has competed at before, and I have no doubt that he'll have success in heavyweight in the UFC as well. But very cool stuff to see him come back. Chris Cyborg, she's canceling her negotiations with the UFC for the Holly Holm fight. That's right after she felt insulted and was only offered less money than she was when she fought Tanya Evinger. So she felt insulted by that and has withdrawn her portion of the negotiations for UFC 219 against Holly Holm. Speaking of the Las Vegas victims and that tragedy, the UFC and Joe Rogan will be donating proceeds from this weekend, UFC 216 and Rogan's stand-up show, to the victims in Las Vegas. They weren't doing this together. They both did this independently, the UFC and, of course, Joe Rogan. But very cool of both entities to be donating proceeds to the victims. Just another example of Americans rallying around Americans, my friends. Matt Hughes. Incredible, miraculous recovery that we all prayed for and was awesome. Awesome to see him pull through all of this stuff. He honored the nurses that helped him in the hospital following the accident that shook up the MMA community. Truly a miracle. And I think I speak for all of us when I say thank you to those nurses as well. We would have lost a legend, and that would have been hard for the MMA community. We've got some great exclusives on the site right now. Some stuff with Mike Perry this week. Very entertaining, as always. You guys have heard him numerous times on this show. More or less calls out the entire division, as he does every time. Great guy, great read. Make sure you guys go check that out. Johnny Hendricks moves to Jackson Winklejohn. Looks like he's going to take his fate into his own hands and make a change that hopefully benefits him in the long run. And who knows what kind of Johnny Hendricks we're going to see next time around. World-renowned Jackson Winklejohn camp. So many of the great fighters of the sport have come out of that camp. So interesting move for Johnny. Let's see how it plays out. And, you know, 95% sure it'll probably be a good thing for his career. And now for some more of the funny and puzzling news from this week. Derek Lewis says he can't eat the McRib sandwich, and therefore Fabricio Verdum is in trouble because of this fight. He couldn't eat the McRib sandwich, and he's going to take out that frustration on Fabricio Verdum. That's pretty freaking hilarious. I don't know whether this is hilarious, strange, or appalling. I don't know what to call this, but for some reason I'm on board. George Foreman calls out Steven Seagal to a fight. Seagal says yes. I'm not quite sure what the hell is going on here, but I would watch that. Guilty as charged. Something to keep your eye on. UFC and Fox deal is now up for grabs. UFC is eligible to seek better offers from other companies at this point. Keep your eye on that. Could be some big changes depending on how that plays out. I would imagine that Fox is going to do everything they can to keep the UFC. But then again, maybe one of the other big hitters in the media will throw the right number at the UFC to keep them. And as we've seen with the new purchase of the company for $4.5 billion, 4.6, whatever, they've been all about the money. So whoever gets the sweetest offer will get the deal, I'm sure. But again, something to keep your eye on in the upcoming weeks. And of course, all of this in depth and much more at bjpenn.com/MMA news. Go there now while you listen. Stay up to date. See all the important stuff in the sport. All the cool videos. You name it, we got it. bjpenn.com/MMA news. And of course, as I said, prayers to the families of Las Vegas and all the victims. And rest in peace, Tom Petty. Rest in peace, Alonzo DePina. Been a tough week, but we've got a great show to lift your spirits here tonight. And we're going to jump right into things. I have talked enough. Our first guest, as I mentioned, Bellator heavyweight Matt Mitrione. Really cool conversation with him. Again, first time speaking with him. And man, one of the better conversations that we've had on the show. Maybe not so much controversial interview, if you will, or, you know, a guy calling out a division, but very cool intellectual conversation I had with Matt, and gained a ton of respect for the guy. Not to say that I didn't have a ton of respect for him before, but man, you actually get to chat with a guy like that. Very cool stuff. So kicking things off tonight, former UFC heavyweight, former Tough alumni, or Tough alum rather, Bellator heavyweight contender, without a doubt, Matt Mitrione. All right, Penn Nation, please welcome to the show former UFC competitor, Tough alumni, and arguably the Bellator heavyweight champ that has yet to be crowned. Of course, I'm talking about Matt Mitrione. Matt, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Where are you calling from?
I was calling from South Florida in West Palm Beach, Florida. My stay, when I come down here to train with Coach Henry and Coach Greg, I stay with an old college teammate of mine named Denny Sutherland.
Very good, very good. So clearly getting in some really great rounds with all those savages at Combat Club.
Yes, sir. That's how we roll, brother.
Now, speaking of Florida, I know you mentioned that you don't take up permanent.
Actually, you know what? Just as a side note, Coach Henry opened up his own joint now. So Coach Henry coaches over at Hard Knocks 365, where he has Hoof Kickboxing, and Coach Greg has Jones Wrestling there. So I haven't been to the Combat Club in a hot minute. Nothing against it. It's just Coach Henry's down south more often, and his place is down in Fort Lauderdale now. He actually has his own school going forwards.
Yeah, you know what, man? I have had that mixed up. I always thought that when the split initially happened with the Black Zillions, the Combat Club was Henry Hoof, but apparently that's incorrect. Henry Hoof split off to do his own thing, and Combat Club is a completely separate entity.
Correct. That is accurate. Henry Hoof was there in the interim, and also, but Combat Club runs Henry's program, his kickboxing program. So we have like guys like Sean Soriano and a couple other dudes that have been brought up in the way of Coach Henry. And he has them doing their coaching up there.
Do you get to see him often, man? He's a Rhode Islander as well. I'm a native Rhode Islander. You know, he gets a lot of love out here. Did you get to see him often, Sean Soriano?
Dude, Soriano's my dude. He is a great human being. He is a great teammate, and he's a really good friend of mine. Great little dude.
Very good, very good. So obviously, man, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. But let's start with the Fedor fight. The finish was pretty crazy, one of the best of the year, without a doubt. I'm wondering, can you walk us through that double knockdown and subsequent knockout?
Yeah, man. You know, Fedor is really fascinating because the way he approaches a fight, mid-fight, is unlike anything I've ever seen before, where he's like a savant. You know, for lack of a better expression, like he takes it in and he calculates everything he sees. Like it's like you can just see if his head was a calculator, you could just see like the accountant roll just flowing through and just adding up on the ground. You know, like him trying to solve this number like via puzzle. It was incredible. And he couldn't figure out my movement, and so you could tell him he was like looking at my fists and my hips and my fists and my hips, and he just couldn't figure it out. So I felt like he tried to rush in on and get a hold of my body, and I pushed him off, and I walked into him straight ahead, straight forwards. And at that moment, he's so good that he realized that this is his best chance to punch me as of yet in that fight. So he threw a straight right. But when he throws it, he doesn't ever wind up. He goes straight from his hip to your face. There's no loading process.
Yeah.
So you can't see it coming, which is why he's been so successful, because he's so quick and he doesn't load his punches. He's really explosive out of his hips. Like, I bet Fedor, if they did it back in the day, would hang clean, you know, probably 500 pounds. Because he's just such a specimen of athleticism and explosiveness. But I just happened to throw a lazy right hook just for distance's sake, because I walked up on him. And then I happened to land that hook because he opened his shoulders up to throw that straight. And then luckily I have heavy enough bones where it rattled his head a little bit. He fell down. When he fell down, his head hit the ground. I fell down, hit my butt, and was like, yo, like a little, I swear to God. And at the moment it happened, I thought to myself, holy shit, he's so good, I don't want to stand back up with him. And so I was like, I swear to God. And I was like, so I was like, I need to finish this fight right now. So I jumped on him, and thank God it worked out that way. But like, he's so good at what he does that I felt peril if I stood back up with him.
Wow. So it sounds like you really appreciated his ability to make those little adjustments and really try to calculate what a guy's going to do and get those reads early on in a fight. Does that sound accurate?
That is extremely accurate. And he's and that's the thing, too. Like, I really meant what I was saying, and I hope it didn't come off as, like, as being dismissive of him. But I didn't come up watching fighting. So I that was a football guy. So when Fedor was Fedor, I didn't know who Fedor was because I was still playing football.
Right.
So it was never that big of a deal to me to fight him. I hear so many people being like, oh my God, that's Fedor, blah, blah, blah. But for me, it was just fighting another dude who has got a great reputation. And so it wasn't really that much. But in the middle of the fight, I can tell you that there's nobody I've ever fought before that did what he did, that had the capability to make me uncomfortable when I'm dictating tempo and distance. And that's impressive.
Wow, that's a very candid answer of you, and a really cool perspective to hear. You don't, especially on a win, you don't hear a guy, you know, talk about his opponent in that regard. But it sounds like, regardless of you not watching him coming up in your own career, and, you know, when you were playing football, or, you know, him in his prime, it sounds like he gained your respect pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. He's the best fighter I ever fought. Like, even if I didn't know what the hell he accomplished before, if I just walked in there and fought him, I would still say the exact same thing. Like,
yeah.
he is, and I've had, which is wild, because I've had fights that have gone on a long time. You know, I've had a couple fights go three rounds. And I can tell you, even though this one only lasted 70-something seconds, it was by far the most threatened I've ever been.
Wow. So it goes without saying that the performance was probably the biggest of your career, best of your career, and it was also one of those timeless finishes that sticks with everybody for a long time. But in retrospect, you know, everything that you're saying about him being the best opponent that you faced, does it still feel like that big milestone moment for you?
Nah, it doesn't. You know, like, because that's the thing, like I said, once again, like, at risk of sounding rude, Fedor's just a dude to me. So
yeah.
Like, it's not that. I will get a moment like that in my career. I'm sure of it. I just haven't gotten it yet for me. There's a couple of fights, like, I can say, I don't even know what my record is anymore. I think I'm like 12-5 or something like that. I don't know. But, like, I consider myself, I think I only have three losses. Roy Nelson beat me, Brennan Shaw beat me, and what's his name beat me? Ben Rothwell. Those three beat me. Sure, good for them. I don't consider my Chicago fight a loss, and I sure as shit don't consider my, what's his name?
Travis Brown.
Yeah, I sure as shit don't consider that a loss.
Yeah.
So, like, in those, so, like, I feel like those people, I should have beaten them. I feel like I should have beaten everybody I fought, but they capitalized on mistakes that I made. And that's what they're supposed to do when you're in the upper echelon of being a fighter. But sooner or later, I'll get that moment that I feel will define my career and my progression as a fighter. But as of now, I don't feel like I've gotten it.
Well, I think that kind of lends itself to, you know, all the talk that everybody says you are one of the best athletes to step into MMA. You know, this kind of lends itself to that it seems like you know your own capabilities and that what you have yet to accomplish is going to be far greater than this performance over Fedor.
I feel that on any given day, I'm the best fighter in the world. And I understand a lot of people feel that way. But I feel like I am that solid of a fighter. And I feel like the only reason why people have ever beaten me is because I made mistakes. And now, granted, that's the difference between the superior and the good, or the great, is that the superior don't make mistakes and they capitalize on what people do. Or they put people in the positions where they make mistakes because they're uncomfortable and they're waiting to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
So both that saying, what I'm saying, kind of goes hand in hand with either lack of preparation or lack of experience, either one. I feel like I've always prepared as well as I possibly could have, but now it's at the point where I need to be the guy when somebody makes a mistake, I capitalize on it, and I start building my legacy. And I start building the where people are like, damn, I wish he never went to Bellator because I want to see him fight, you know, Verdum or Kane or who, God knows what other dude his name's out there.
Yeah.
But and hopefully we get the Ali Act, right? Someone doing it supposedly.
That,
hopefully Connor is going to testify because I hear he is. If he's going to testify in Congress to say, look, this is the reason why we need to do this, blah blah blah. Well, then I sure as hell can get the strap over here, beat whoever I had to beat over in Bellator, and then go fight whoever for a unified world title. That sounds great to me.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that, man. That's something we've talked about extensively on the show, the Ali Act and guys supporting it. I definitely think that that would be the best thing for the sport, but more importantly for you guys as athletes when it comes to, you know, going to the negotiation table and putting on the fights that the fans would really love to see. So I agree with you.
Well,
on
you know,
that
I totally agree with what you're saying, and I think that's a big thing. But you got to remember something, that I went to the negotiating table with Lorenzo Fertitta. Me and him, head-to-head, no lawyers, just us having negotiations. And I told him what I wanted, and I told him why I wanted it. And, you know, he scoffed at me, because at the moment, there was really nowhere else to go. But I told him, I was like, look, dude, either I get what I want, or I'm bouncing, or I'll retire, I'll be done. And luckily, Bellator came in and was like, hey, look, I got you. We negotiated, and it was a hell of a lot better deal than what I would gotten from the UFC. But even with the UFC, they would have increased my purse, my fight purse, almost 100%, which they don't ever do. That's pretty much unheard of.
Yeah.
So it was a situation in which you're bargaining against a stacked deck, but you still have some kind of leverage. But it's not nearly the kind of leverage we would have if we had the Ali Act jump in and say, hey, look, this is where I'm at, and this is the reason why I want what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's interesting to hear that he scoffed at you, first of all, and second of all, I agree with you 100%. Competition, I mean, anybody who knows free market capitalism will understand that competition is best for business across the board. So Bellator coming in, I think I get where you're going here with this, that maybe before Bellator had this recent rise with Scott Coker, the Ali Act probably wasn't even going to be an option. Is that where you're kind of going here?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Until Viacom came in and Scott Coker came in, where they were like, okay, look, Mr. Coker, we know you know what you're doing. You're time-tested. Go ahead and take the reins here. So now the Ali Act is a massively viable thing. And on top of that, let's take into consideration the names at which the UFC has let go or Bellator has pulled over. And then look at how well they've done.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a handful of names that have not done well over in Bellator. And so that means that Bellator's talent is actually pretty damn legit. So why would Bellator not want the Ali Act to come through? Because now we can go head-to-head with UFC guys that are top tier, and look, we've already been whooping some UFC ass,
yep.
So how do you like me now?
Yeah.
And that's a legit conversation for them.
Absolutely, and going right along with this, I mean, when Paul Daly, you know, starches friggin' Lorenz Larkin. I mean, it only...
And Lima beat Lorenz pretty handily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that only further boasts that Bellator has all of the great fighters as well. And just like Scott Coker was able to do with Strikeforce. I mean, you look at the UFC only a year or two ago, I think 80% of the champions were Strikeforce fighters.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about this? That Scott Coker isn't just doing a free-for-all. He didn't go after Travis Brown. He didn't go after Alistair Overeem. He didn't go after Aljamain Sterling. Like, so there are guys that are free agents that don't get offers. So he's not just like picking up whatever, but he has to pick up heavyweights because the world wants to see heavyweights. So he's going. He has to go after Frank Mir when Frank Mir is eligible, even though he can't fight for a while. He has to pick up names like that because they're heavyweights. Period. But are they worth the time and effort? Are they worth the draw?
Yeah.
That's what you have to figure out.
Well, you know what? This is a very interesting conversation and where it's leading. I think I'll skip forward here a bit. You know, you talk about the heavyweight division in Bellator. It's been lacking for a long time, but building up now. We've had the debut of Roy Nelson and, of course, the addition of Frank Mir. That'll be great. Yourself, Chet Congo, all big names, recognizable names. Most hardcore fans know you guys and household names, you know, for the casual fan as well. But in regards to the title picture, Scott Coker is, I believe last week it said that he'd like to crown a champ in early 2018, but he is open to a tournament. I'm wondering, where do you stand on that? Would you prefer to see a tournament, or would you rather, for instance, be a guy involved in the title fight in early 2018?
I would love to be in the title fight in late 17.
Right.
Like, I want to fight, dude. Like, dude, I've only fought one time in 17. That sucks. Like, I understand what happened with Fedor, but I wanted to fight, you know, that fight like 4 weeks later in Chicago. It's just, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I want to fight. I want to earn my time. I've got a fan base that wants to watch me fight. So if we have to wait until 18, cool. But I sure as all hell would rather have a title fight in early 18 and then be the cherry on top of the sundae when it comes to a heavyweight tournament, right? Like, let whoever they want fight their ass off to get the opportunity to fight to me like Bellator used to do, cool. However that goes, cool, I don't care. If you want me to fight in the tournament, well, we got some negotiating to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it sounds like an interesting conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like at this point, have you been approached about a title fight? Was that guaranteed to you at all with the win over Fedor? Or is this all just still up in the air at this point?
I have not had a conversation about anything with Bellator other than the fact, hey, I really want to have a fight. Like, fight me. I want to have a fight. I'm asking them on a regular basis. My manager, Matt Aptiker, is asking them, hey, I want to fight. Get me a fight. You pay me to fight. You need heavyweights in there. Let me get down and do my work.
Now,
so,
what is the response to that? I mean, at this point, it seems like it would only make sense to have you fight. Whether or not it may be for a title, I mean, you need to feed your family and things of that nature, so fighting is your job. You know, what has the response been to you asking for a fight consistently?
I have not gotten a fight offer yet, but I'm trying my best to get a fight. Trying.
Yeah, I believe it. Now, I mean, at this point for you, like I said, it makes a lot of sense for you to fight for the strap. Is that one of the big components to you getting another fight here? Does it have to be for a title or no?
No, it doesn't. There's nothing in my, like, do I think I deserve a title? Sure, what the hell, why not? Or do I think I deserve a title shot? Yeah, sure, what the hell, why not?
Yeah.
But I don't really care. Like, that'll all work itself out. I'm not, like, I just want to be active, brother. I just want to get in and do some scrapping. Like, I don't do well on the sidelines. I start tearing shit apart in my house. I remodel stuff that needs to be remodeled. Like, if I don't do that, I start drinking and hanging out. So, like, I'm a person who needs a mission in life. I need a carrot. I need something.
Yeah.
I don't do well being aimless and ambitionless. So give me a carrot, let me know about it, and let me go earn my money.
Yeah, something to focus on and look forward to.
Yes, I need that. Like, otherwise, I become self-destructive or house-destructive.
So that being said, I mean, the title picture with former champ and then not having a champ for so long, what do you think it's taken them so long to really try to figure this out, like we've been talking about with the tournament there, possible title fight early,
you know,
in the year? What do you
think
it's taken them so long to figure this out?
If you think about this, too, just on a totally different level, there's not a whole lot of heavyweights that they have, right, that Bellator has. So if they go through a tournament, that knocks off the next four or five contenders.
Yeah.
Like, so then they have to fight each other to see who wins, like, one or two. So it's almost like a double elimination tournament,
right,
to get to a title fight. Do you understand that?
Oh, absolutely. And that was going to be my next question to you, is Scott Coker actually making the wise move here and trying to build all of you guys up and maybe do this thing a little differently than just, as you said, have a quick tournament, a title, a title is given to somebody, and then we're not really sure how to go forward.
Yeah, I don't, Mr. Coker's a smart dude. He gets paid a hell of a lot more than I do to make decisions I don't have to make.
Right.
So, I'm sure whatever he's going to do is going to be well thought out and well planned. And I'm sure Viacom's going to sign off on it and be like, hell yeah, it's a great idea. But I know or Paramount, whoever the hell, whatever station it is, or ownership or whatever it is, but whatever's going on with it, all I want to know is, who am I fighting? Actually, I don't care who I'm fighting. Just tell me when I'm fighting. Like, just say, hey, look, at the end of the year, in Ireland, in December 18th, you're going to fight. Cool. Awesome. Sounds great. Yeah. I just made that up. I don't know if that's actually a date or not. I have no idea. But
I'd have to check that myself.
I just want to get down. That's all I want to do.
Right. Right. Well, you know, we talked about the addition of Roy Nelson to the roster, obviously Chuck Congo, Frank Mir. These are all great fights, great opponents for each respective guy, and a few of you are very familiar with each other. First, what did you think of Roy's debut, and how badass do you think a tournament between you guys would be for all the fans?
I don't watch fights much anymore, so I didn't watch Roy's fight. He's a good friend of mine. I'm happy he won. I heard he won pretty convincingly. I think he even had like a 26 in there, I think, which is great.
Yeah, I want to say a 26 as well, if not a 25, but I think just a 26. You're correct.
Well, so he did a hell of a job. I think it was a decision. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
But, I'm happy for him. He's a good dude. Actually, I called him, and I think I texted him, too. Haven't heard back from him. Yeah, he's probably just doing something with his wife or running his business or whatever. But, I'm happy for him. How good would a tournament be? You know, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't know. I don't know what benefit it would be. So, for example, I was just wondering how close on the line I want to teeter here. So the UFC is a privately held company, right?
Yeah.
When Rampage left, he said publicly, one of the things he left and disliked the most about the UFC was that there were two sets of books, that there were public numbers that Dana White would let out about pay-per-views, and then there's a private number. He would say, actually, we only had this number. So Dana White would come out and say, we had 800,000 pay-per-views, blah, 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 but then they would only pay you on the private number. And Rampage is like, that's bullshit. If you're going to say this number out loud in public, then you're going to pay me on this number out loud in public. And there's nothing they could do about it because it's a privately held company. So if they will never disclose their actual pay-per-view numbers. So now with that being said, Bellator went to the pay-per-view market. By going into the pay-per-view market, we had Fedor and me and Michael Chandler and Primus and a couple other dudes and Chael and whoever else, like Chael and Vanderlei. It was a pretty substantial fight card. Well, we had Fedor, the greatest of all time, on that card, and we still didn't even hit 200,000 buys. So I don't know how much interest a tournament would generate because it hasn't, to date, with one previous opportunity, it hasn't shown beneficial or fruitful. So I don't know what it would be. So, like, we have to disclose our numbers. We have to say, hey, look, since we're a publicly traded company, let's say, look, we only got 175,000 buys, right? Like, we can't be like, oh, we had 500,000. It was a raging success, and yeah, not really have that, you know, and be able to mask it. So I don't know. Like, so we can't pimp ourselves or peacock ourselves the way that another organization can. So would there be interest in it? I don't know. I would love to say yes, because that's my ego saying, hell yeah, everybody wants to see us fight.
Yeah.
But I think statistically, it doesn't necessarily qualify to say yes, it would be substantial. So I hope that's not too much of an asshole or an intellectual's answer.
No, that's an honest answer. I can give you. That's an honest answer for sure. And, you know, while I think for the hardcore fans, that would definitely be a great thing for there to be a tournament, but you're absolutely right. Does that make financial sense, and would it be best for business? But to stay along with that, you know, given the numbers, the weak numbers on the pay-per-view for Bellator, do you think that's going to be a long time away before we see another Bellator pay-per-view? That would probably be best for business,
right? But doesn't that make you wonder, though? Like, if we – was it a weak number? Like, what are the UFC's real numbers? Like,
right.
are they to where we are? Like, was that kind of par for the course for the market? You know, like, and how does it take 6 weeks, 7 weeks to come out with Bellator's numbers and Dana has them that night or the next day?
Right, right.
Like, how the hell does that happen?
Yeah.
Like, and you would think that Viacom has access to some form, fashion of getting expedited numbers. It's effing Viacom,
yeah.
Right? Like, so I don't know. I don't understand that stuff. There's a lot of things that I don't understand about the pay-per-view game that go on, but I'm intelligent enough to find the loopholes and inconsistencies in it and say, look, that doesn't necessarily make sense.
Yeah. Well, that's the shady business with private business, right? I mean, and as
you're,
you said, that's
yeah,
the reason
right,
why
right.
a lot of guys have left. So, but listen,
yeah.
Matt, you've been more than generous with your time. I just have a couple more questions here for you.
Right on, man.
We've established that you've been wanting to fight. Doesn't matter if it's for a title. You prefer to fight for a title before the year's end. But if you were given the choice of to fight any of these opponents that we've been talking about here, any of the big names that have just joined the roster, who would you prefer to fight?
You know, man, I'm really going to make you irritated here. You give me a piece of paper and I'll sign it. I don't care who it is. I believe I'm the best in the world on any given day. So it doesn't matter what color his eyes are, what color his hair is, what his waistline looks like. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to whoop that ass.
Yeah.
So there's nobody I care about fighting more than just signing on a piece of paper. That's all. I just want to be busy.
Yeah. No, honest answer, not irritating at all, man. At this point, you just want to get back in there. And all of the opponents that make the most sense are all quality. I was just interested to know if you had any preference to stylistically a matchup with any of these guys. But should all the fans have any question whether or not that you'll be crowned Bellator champ at least sometime in 2018?
I think that if I don't get a shot at the title relatively soon, I would be very surprised. I think I've earned it. I think my fighting style has earned it. I think my personality has earned it. So if not, then I'll go put hands on somebody else, knock that ass out, and just sit back and wait the sands I'm waiting right now.
All right. Now, in conclusion, man, what can all the Matt Mitrione fans expect in your next fight, regardless of opponent, and why should everybody make sure to tune in?
You know, man, I've been wrestling a lot with Purdue University and Coach Craig. And I've been wrestling with Tyrell Todd, who is a three-time All-Big Ten guy. I've been wrestling Purdue's heavyweights. And, you know, it's fun. I've really been developing my Greco, my pummel game, my body lock game, my comfort level being nipple and nipple with another dude who wants to try to get me to the ground. And I'm not saying I'll ever go for a takedown again. I learned my lesson against Ben Rothwell. But I know that I am much more comfortable and I am much more prepared in this situation if it ever comes up again.
So it sounds like you're more looking forward to going out there and showing another wrinkle of your game and another reason why you are the baddest Mamma Jim on the Bellator heavyweight roster.
That's, or in the world. You're damn right.
All right. All right, man. Well, listen, it's been a great conversation. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you. I know this is the first time for us, and hopefully we get an opportunity to have you on the show again when a fight finally gets announced for you. Any shout-outs you'd like to get in before we let you go?
Yes, I would. I'd like to send a shout-out to a couple of sponsors. Hayabusa, you guys have been great to me. CBD Drip, you guys have been fantastic to me. Wingstop, yo, go get some chicken wings. They support me. They support my family. And they're a damn good group. And they fed a ton of people down in Houston from the hurricane. I don't even think they got any pubs. They didn't even want any pubs from it. So Wingstop took, like, all their mobile trucks, all their restaurants down there, and fed the masses down there. And I'm proud and I'm impressed to be sponsored by them.
Wow, that's a beautiful story to hear, man. And I've said it on the show many times. Our hearts go out to everybody affected by all of the hurricanes and tragedies that have gone on recently. But real quick before I let you go, man, you mentioned CBD there. Just give me your opinion on the NSAC deciding to get rid of that. I believe it was the NSAC just said that they would allow use of CBD.
Yeah, yes, they did. I'm really happy with that, man. Like, that there is a direct line between combat sports, painkillers, heroin addiction, overdoses. There's a direct line between all of that madness and financial ruin. So if we can start to be able to take non-lab manufactured, chemical-produced madness, we can start going the more natural route. And if some of us get benefits from that, then it's a hell of a lot better. And I'm happy with it. I like how CBD affects my body. I like the feeling I get from it, as far as like I don't ache, I don't have a lot of pains, I feel more relaxed when it's time to go to bed, and I feel a mental clarity. I like it. I had a procedure done today down in South Florida, and they were like, hey, do you want these painkillers? And they gave me like Narcos and Percocets.
Nice.
And I said no. I don't want them. Like, go ahead and keep the script. I got my CBD. So I'm happy with that, and I'm glad the fact that they are starting to be less control-minded about natural remedies. I'm happy about that.
Absolutely.
I don't even smoke weed. Like, I didn't go to high school. I went to school high. Got high all the time back in the day. I haven't smoked weed in years, like damn near a decade probably. And I'm still happy with the product of CBD. So it's not just for burnouts. It's for people that are health conscious and don't want manufactured chemicals in there.
Well, I think that's why it's been doing so well, is just like you said, it's not for burnouts. I mean, Boss Rutan, we've had on the show many times, he talks about his new deal with a CBD company and how it took, for him, he didn't like the idea of getting high, but he liked the benefits of medical cannabis, and then CBD coming along,
yeah,
it was the perfect match for him. It sounds like it's the same for you. But, yeah, agreed, man. Anything to help you guys curtail all that nonsense and madness that you spoke about. But, again, listen, man, greatly appreciate the time. And hopefully we get to catch up again soon.
Sounds great, brother. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the time.
All right. You have a good day.
Bye, buddy. Bye.
All right, Penn Nation. That was Matt Mitrione, Bellator heavyweight. Soon to be in a title fight, I have no doubt. If not early 2018, following a heavyweight tournament, which sounds to be the plan so far for Scott Coker in regards to the division. But you heard him talk about it there, Matt Mitrione, you heard him talk about it. You do wipe out all your top contenders if you do a heavyweight tournament. So I agree with him on that. You know, it's one of those things, we'd love to see tournaments, but when you don't have a lot of depth to a division, makes a great point there. But again, have no doubt that he will be competing for the heavyweight title in 2018, whether it be early or, maybe a few months into the calendar year. A lot of great matchups for him. Jack Congo, Frank Mir, Roy Nelson. And I'd imagine that list will only continue to grow as time goes on for Bellator. Also with the Ali Act, the stuff he mentioned there, that it's only good for Bellator. Very true, very true. And with Conor McGregor at the helm here, it seems like this might get finally pushed through and be a great thing for athletes across the board, as we had discussed there. So, as the nickname with our next guest, let's waste no time and jump right into things with Volkan Ozdemir. As I had said earlier, calls out DC on Twitter. DC responds, gives him props, agrees to the fight. Now it's in the hands of the UFC to make the fight happen. Hopefully it does. And we'll talk about all that from top to bottom. A little bit about John Jones. And, of course, about Gokhan Saki, as I had mentioned earlier. This is the Fighter's Voice, the voice of the fans, BJPenn.com Radio. Coming up next, Volkan No Time Ozdemir. Penn Nation, please welcome back to the show the number two ranked light heavyweight in the UFC, a man on a mission for gold who has made his ascension to the top of the division in no time at all. Of course, I'm talking about Volkan Ozdemir. Volkan, thanks as always for taking the time out of your day to speak with us, man. I'd imagine we're catching you between training sessions?
Yes, between training session, but also I took some time off to visit some new place, some new house. So I'm glad I could have a transition to soon, so to a better place.
Oh, really? So you've purchased the new home in Florida?
Oh, no. For now, I'm just going to rent. But I'm going to wait till I do any big purchase, you know, because first of all, I'm going to use the money I earn right now to reinvest on my training.
Yes, yes. I know we spoke about that before.
After that, I'll be able to to be good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know we've spoke about that before, but I'm wondering, man, being Florida and all the crazy stuff that's gone on there recently, I just wanted to ask, were you there for the hurricane?
I had the chance to be back home in Switzerland because I had to do some PR, you know, stuff, and I was for the UFC Rotterdam in Netherlands, and I went to France and London. So I was away, but my fiance was stuck here, and so it was a little bit hard. I wanted to go back, but then the line were cut. You know, I just wanted to come back to help her.
How did she make out? Everything all right?
Yeah, it was good actually. It's because it changed from category 5 to category 3,
yeah.
And then you know, and our place was good. Just a few trees fell, and next to some cars. Hopefully our car had nothing, but it was good. It was good.
Okay, well, very good. I'm glad to hear that. So lots to talk about, but obviously the big news from this week is that you had asked Daniel Cormier for a crack at the title, and DC obliged your request. I know this fight is not yet official with the UFC, but tell us a little bit about the request to him for the fight and why this fight makes the most sense for the division right now.
I think he makes the most sense because... I'm on three fights win, and I fought the top guys. You know, I fought number 6, the number 7, and then the number 3. And I'm just having a good momentum right now. I had three big names, so three wins against a big name, and I'm just feeling great. And like Gustafsson is a there is only Gustafsson ahead of up on me, you know, in the first place. But I tried to fight him, and he didn't respond. So I guess now it's perfect for me to be fighting DC next.
Yeah, there's a lot of circumstances that have kind of lined up this fight for you, and Gustafsson was something I wanted to talk about in a second here. But DC had no hesitation to give you props and accept the challenge. I'm wondering, would you agree if that, you know, that kind of speaks volumes to the type of athlete he is, in my opinion. I'm wondering, would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely, you know, and you can see he's willing to fight anybody. I mean, I got a lot of respect for Cormier. He beat everybody in the heavyweight division. Then he came down to the light heavyweight division, and also, he was better than everybody else.
Yeah.
So definitely, he's a really good fighter. He's a big athlete, and the fact that he was asking the fans, you know, about the fights, you know, means like he's ready to fight anybody else in the world.
Yeah. Again, it was just very cool and refreshing to see a champion, you know, respond to a call out like that and accept the fight and give you props. It was very cool to see. But you know, last time we'd spoke, you were campaigning for the fight with Gustafsson for the crown of the Europeans. And to determine a true number one contender. However, it seems like everything that's happened with John Jones, that's really opened up an opportunity for you to fight DC. And, you know, given that Gustafsson's already lost to Daniel, was that the direction that you felt things were going after Jones was stripped of the belt?
I think so. I think he helps too because he had already 2 shots at the belt and he came really close twice. So I understand how frustrating he was because he had some split decision and there were really, you know, like a lot of fans were booing, you know, the results.
Yeah.
So you know, he's like the kind of the uncrowned king, I guess. But exactly, you know, I think he had already two chances to fight for the title, but now, you know, it's my time. And you know, I, as I told you, I got that momentum, and the division needs fresh blood.
Yeah, fresh blood. It's a new face, a new fight. And, I mean, it just seems like all the circumstances given, everything is lined up for you perfectly here. I know you said that you believe Jones will come back, you know, but as a guy looking from the outside in on his situation, his, you know, your perspective,
Has all the controversy with John Jones, has that tarnished his legacy in your opinion?
It's hard to answer to this because the way Jones fights, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing stuff nobody does. He just has an really high IQ. You know, when it's about fighting, he's doing stuff with a perfect timing. You know, like crazy spinning back elbow, and you know, so it's you know. You cannot take anything off John Jones because he has so much talent. So I don't think he really tarnishes his legacy because when you watch his fight, he doesn't win because he's only, you know, of course, because he probably helped, but he doesn't win because he's, you know, so strong, so big. You know, he's not. It's all about the intelligence he has and also the IQ. You know, the fight IQ. So yeah, he's just an amazing athlete.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just think it's really tough. He's in a sticky situation, but I agree with you. I do believe he will be back, and hopefully that opportunity presents itself for you two to fight down the road. Maybe him coming back to challenge you for your title. But as I mentioned, the stars aligned here with everything that went down with Jones and Gustafsson Erdi competing for the title twice. Here we are, less than a year in the UFC. Everything that you've predicted has come true. Looks like you'll be fighting for the title very soon. How crazy has this ride been for you so far, man? I know you never really doubted yourself, but did you think you'd be in this position where you are and you know, truly confident in all of this coming to fruition this quickly?
I mean, it is a blessing, definitely. I've been dreaming about it and envisioned that, and I think it's just happening right now because... I wanted it to happen, and I think I did everything I could to make everything happen, and that's I just having the reward of my hard work, and like now next is the belt, you know, and it's just a blessing everything that's happening to me right now actually.
So in regards to the date, has there been any talk with DC's people about, you know, when they'd like this fight to take place? I know that you've been targeting, you know, January, February, but what date or venue makes the most sense for you right now?
Yeah, I still haven't really looked at the date, but I don't think it's going to be before beginning of the next year. And so it's going to be, I had a really, you know, quick run at the UFC afterwards nonstop, and now I'm just going to take some time also, you know, to breathe a little bit and get ready for Tuesday's big fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the quick turnaround has been a benefit for you so far, but you also need to take the time to, you know, really prepare for this one. It's the biggest fight of your career for sure. But give us your thoughts on DC and the problems he poses in this matchup, and in turn, what strengths you bring to the table that he's never really seen or felt before.
I don't think he really had you know, like. That kind of a position with me because right now there is also not a lot of tapes about me. There is nothing you can study much, and people still doesn't really know what I'm capable of. And that's something I will bring, the element of surprise. And it's just that I'm dangerous in every situation. You know, I have a big knockout power and. I don't get tired easily, and you know, I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna fight for it.
Well, you know, speaking of that, that grinding wrestling style, that, you know, that's his bread and butter. He's been able to really wear guys down in there. You know, aside from the obvious takedown defense and things of that nature, what would the primary focus be for this fight camp? Would it be on cardio, and you know, in case you have to go to those later rounds? I know you have a prediction of inside 2 minutes, which I'll get to in a bit here, but if the fight was to do that, you know, what would the focus be for you? Would you be focusing on cardio and takedown defense going into
no,
the fight?
No, I think my preparation will be exactly the same as it was always. I'm just trying to make everything more professional every time. I'm trying to correct all the stuff I thought it was not on point. And always trying to make better each and every time. So I think I'm just going to keep the same strategy of training and the same fight camp.
And it sounds like you're definitely confident you could go 5 rounds with him in a war if it was to go to a war, 5-round decision, and be
you know, not have any cardio issues through the fifth round, through the 25 minutes?
I never fought a five round, but I know I fought OSP a full three round, and I wasn't even really training, you know.
Yeah.
So my cardio was okay, and I mean, not really okay during that fight, but you know, I pushed through it because I know I have the mental, and you can do a lot of stuff with the mental. You know, you can push through obstacle, and that's why I know it's going to be all right. It's just a few adjustments I need to do and to get ready for a five round.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%, man. Coming into the fight with the OSP on such short notice, going those full three rounds with him, with the full training camp, it would only make sense that you'd be able to hang in five as well. But changing gears here for a moment, you know, given your striking background, I wanted to get your opinion on the debut of Gokhan Saki. What did you think of his performance, and how do you think he'll do against the elite at 205?
I loved it. I really loved it. And I was really happy that he came, you know, as a Turkish man. I couldn't wait to see how well he's gonna strike in MMA, because it's a totally different you know, strategy when it's about striking. You need to watch out about the takedowns. You need to change your distance. It's a small glove. So yeah, I wanted to know, you know, how well he's gonna do, and he did really well. We saw, because the guy tried to take him down, we saw that he worked on his takedown defense. So I can't wait to see him fighting somebody else next.
Yeah, well, when we had Boss Rutan on several weeks ago, he had said that a fight between you and Gokhan would be awesome to see, you know, given his Dutch striking background, his love for the striking game. If Gokhan can climb the ranks, I'd imagine that you'd love to fight him in the future.
Yes, definitely. Not with pleasure, for sure. Because he's from Turkey, you know, as I am. And I think there is enough people in the world to fight, unless and not the only two Turkish people in the UFC.
True.
But hopefully not, definitely, because I really loved him. I was watching him a lot when I was growing, and when I was training in Netherlands, I was a little bit with him, but I was young, you know. I was like 18 when the first time I met him, and I had a few training with him, but I don't think he remember. But I really look up to him, and that's why I hope it's never going to happen.
Well, as far as striking goes, I can understand where Boss is coming from, but as far as fellow countrymen, I completely understand where you're coming from. So in that case, maybe you guys can just both headline and co-headline a card that goes to Turkey in the future for the UFC.
So that would be amazing.
Something else I wanted to ask you about was the documentary you have out right now called Anatomy of a Fighter. Tell us a little bit about that film.
Yeah, Will Harris is doing an amazing job. He has his documentary coming out in 2018, and right now he's releasing a bunch of video all the time, you know. And then he took some time to make a short film about my first year, you know, my first run in the UFC. And actually, he came to film some one of the training. It was a taekwondo training. And then while we were driving there, he just asked me a question in the car, and then he said, "Oh, wait, because I start, you know, speaking." He said, "Let me record this." And actually, I did like like 7-8 minutes interview that he made a film about it, because I just explained a little bit how was my first year in the UFC, and then he said, "Okay, man, wait a few days." And 3 days later, he made a video about it, like a short film. He sent that to me, and I was like, "Wow, man, you're really good." It just happened like this. It wasn't supposed to happen like this, but this guy is a genius. You know, I love his video. He's creative. You know, he has a good eye. So guys, go check Anatomy of a Fighter on YouTube. It's a great channel.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that it was online, and, you know, I saw that it's kind of making the rounds right now, but I agree, any good documentary film or short film, for that matter, does great things for you guys in your careers. I'd imagine that you're very happy with how your story is told throughout this thing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was a crazy one year. A lot of things happened in the span of 6 months. It was fight after fight. And, you know, I was called out on 2 weeks' notice, and then I fought six times three times in 6 months.
Yeah.
And that was crazy because I was fighting a highly ranked guy all the time, and I just made my name. And now I have a lot of friends right now around me that tell me, hey, some people also, they cannot find fights. You know, I have a friend of mine, is a girl. She's struggling to find a pro fighter for a beginning fight. She's telling me, oh, also, I see maybe it's going to happen for me one day. I'll fight somebody with a name, and then everything's going to change really quick. And I have a few other people that told me this, and I think it's inspiring for other people, you know, so they know they can just, you know, sometimes just catch the opportunity.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very cool to hear how grateful you are for everything that's transpired in your career, but I think with the documentary film, and everything that's gone on, just another example of the stars aligning for you, my friend. But listen, getting back to DC, if you're able to knock him out in under 2 minutes, as you've predicted, I think you will officially take over Conor McGregor's place as a man who can see the future. What has made you so successful in predicting your fights, in your opinion?
It's just that I believe in my capacity, and I just study the person a lot. I'm trying to, you know, to analyze everything, and that's why I'm really confident also in myself. Because as long as you put the work, you know, you know what you're capable and what you're not capable of. And I know I put a tons of work, and I know what I want to do, you know, during my fight, and I know how I know exactly how I can apply it. So then, come fight times, I'm doing my best, sometimes, you know, quick knockouts happen like this, and I'm not even looking for it, but I have a big power, you know, and this helped me a lot, you know.
Absolutely. Well, it's surprising, shocking power, to be honest with you, man, because as we've seen time and time again with your fights, doesn't take much. It doesn't take much from you. So just another example, though, of all of this stuff lining up for you and your ability to predict these fights. It's very cool to be a part of and to watch happen. But I know on Monday you talked about DC coming off of the knockout and how that could translate into this fight against you. But talk to us a little bit about the punching power and, more importantly, the accuracy. You know, there's always been talk about DC's ability to take the punch, but how confident are you in your ability to finish him?
You know, you talk about precision, and I think that's the case because you know, I bring precision and I bring timing, but as a light heavyweight, I also bring power. So this makes all the difference because it's something when you're featherweight and you talk about timing and accuracy, but once you're able to do all of that and also apply the power of a 205-pound, then that's why, you know, like, stuff like this happen. And it's a different world because like, it's a heavy man world, and every punch can, like, make people to sleep. And DC is a striker, but I saw him punch hard, you know, a bunch of few times. So he has a, you know, you should not sleep on his striking either.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. He is. I mean, just his knockout of Bigfoot Silva was when I was like, holy crap, this guy is something else. But I think, you know, a lot of people were saying Anthony Rumble Johnson, he wasn't able to finish DC, although he did land some very powerful shots. But I think the difference is with you is, as we talked about there, the accuracy and the timing of these strikes. I think it is on another level that, you know, DC has not seen yet. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that. But listen, all right, Volkan, we certainly look forward to the fight being made official and the fight itself. It's been an amazing ride, as I mentioned, to see you get to the top here, and we greatly appreciate you allowing us to be a part of it. But in conclusion, man, what can all the fans do, all the media do, to help make sure that this fight gets made and that you become the champ in 2018?
Oh, that's something really great. You guys can just, you know, share all the story or share, like, hashtags, you know, like, talking about that fight, because let's make it happen, you know. DC use the fans to make it happen, and they vote for it. So let's use the fans to make it happen for real. Let's us be a force, so the UFC will really listen to us, because DC want it, I want it, and if the people want it, let's fucking do it.
I agree. That's all. That's the three to the four parts that need it to make it happen. So, Lord knows we're on board. I know all the fans are on board. And anything we can do to help, man, we've always got your back. Greatly appreciate the time today, Volkan. Any shout-outs you'd like to get in before we let you go?
Thank you. Yeah, you can follow me on my social media, Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, guys. It will be appreciated.
All right, very good. Thank you again, Volkan. We look forward to the fight being made and having you on again soon. You have a wonderful day, my friend.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. All right, Penn Nation, there you have it. Volkan, no time, Ozdemir. Incredible, incredible rise to the top. Record time. Record fast finishes. I mean, and his ability to predict these things. You've heard him here on the show twice now predict that he would get a first round KO. Did exactly that, and both times in under a minute. Hence the name No Time as a nickname for him. Can't say enough about the guy. And honestly, I'm just taken back by how quickly this has all transpired for him. Go from unknown to the fighting for a title less than a year. If he wins the title, what an incredible story. It's been an incredible story so far, but greatly appreciate him letting us be a part of that as well. You know, it's all about relationships here, and we try to do right by all these fighters, give them the promotion that they deserve, and that same respect as well. So very cool to be a part of all of this for Volkan, and, you know, assuming that this fight does get made by the UFC, can't wait for it. Can the wrecking machine that's bursted onto the scene in the division take on, you know, aside from the pound-for-pound best in the world and John Jones, take on one of the best that the division has seen in many, many, many years as well. Really cool stuff. And also, guys, make sure that you go check out his documentary, Anatomy of a Fighter. I didn't get a chance to watch the entire piece, but I did watch a clip of it, and it looked very well done. And again, highlights this incredible journey for Volkan so far. So again, big thank you to both Matt Mitrione and Volkan Ozdemir for coming on the show tonight. Another great episode, more great conversations on the Fighter's Voice, BJPenn.com radio. Pray for Vegas. Do what you can. Give back to those people. Tune into UFC 216 this weekend, because those proceeds will hopefully in turn benefit all of the victims from the Las Vegas shooting. So again, our heart goes out to all of them, the victims, their families. My personal heart goes out to the family of George Sarrett, the Nunez Alejo family. As I said, guys, emotional week. Emotional week. But make sure you guys tune in next week to BJPenn.com radio, live at 8 p.m. That's Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. On Wednesday, we'll have another great show, more great guests lined up, more awesome conversations for your MMA fix. For all things breaking, all things MMA news, all the viral videos, exclusive content, great interviews like the two you just heard, go to bjpenn.com/MMA news. Bookmark us. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+. Set up notifications, guys. Get that breaking news when it breaks, because Lord knows we've been breaking a lot of it lately. Big shout out to the team. Chris, Tom, Justin, Russell. Of course, Scotty. It's been a fun year so far. I'd like to make the next year 10 times better. And hopefully we can get that done. Thanks for tuning in, Penn Nation. We'll catch you next week. I'm your boy, Kinch, signing out. This has been the Fighter's Voice, the voice of the fans. BJPenn.com Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna get two verses.